Of Hosea, the sixth chapter. I think I'll start at the maybe in the fifth chapter, the eighth verse. Just read a little bit and see if the Lord will give us anything this morning. Blow ye the cornet in Gibeah and the trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud at Bethaven after thee, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel have I made known that which shall surely be. The princes of Judah were like them that remove the bound. Therefore I will pour out my wrath upon them like water. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment, because he willingly walked after the commandment. Therefore will I be unto Ephraim as a moth, and to the house of Judah as rottenness. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrians and sent to King Jerob. Yet could he not heal you, nor cure you of your wound. For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion, and as a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear and go away. I will take away, and none shall rescue him. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face in their affliction. They will seek me early. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew it goeth away. Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth. And thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously against me. Gilead is a city of them that work iniquity, and is polluted with blood. And as troops of robbers wait for a man, so the company of priests murder in the way by consent. For they commit lewdness. I have seen a horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is the whoredom of Ephraim. Israel is defiled. Also, O Judah, he has set a harvest for thee when I return the captivity of my people. Now the Lord speaking likens Ephraim to a silly dove without heart. The prophets speaking, giving the word of the Lord is, you know, in that day, you had to be a prophet to be able to tell anybody anything concerning the word of God. If a man was not a prophet, he made no attempt to tell anybody about God. You had to be a prophet. If you wasn't a prophet or a priest, nobody would listen. But in our day, we are privileged people. You don't have to be a prophet in our day to tell people about Jesus. You don't have to be a priest in our day to tell people about Jesus. All you have to do is be a child of God. And if you're a child of God, then it's given unto you to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that right? That day I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. On my handmaidens in that day I will pour out of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. A testimony for Christ. Have you know that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Christ? When a person really truly prophesies, if they really truly prophesy, it is Christ within them telling. testifying of his own state of being. That is, it is the Holy Ghost speaking from within you. It is not you that speak, but it is the Heavenly Father speaking from within you. It is Christ himself, the Holy Spirit, witnessing and testifying through human instrumentality. Is that right? So then prophecy is the testimony of Christ. I think that this is one of the most beautiful ages that we've ever had in all the history of mankind. I really believe that. It's one of the most beautiful times, one of the most excited times, and one of the most beneficial times that's ever been given to us. And yet, we have one of the most slothful generations that's ever been on the face of the earth. There has never been a generation as slothful, as careless, as unconcerned, as haughty, as worldly, as resentful as this generation. As a matter of fact, it's such an evil generation until God likens it unto a Laodicean thing, a lukewarm people that he said he would spew out of his mouth. He likens it unto those that are adulterers. He said it would be an adulterous generation that would seek after a sign. But still at the same time, Solomon saying that the end of a matter is better than the beginning. We see very clearly, Brother James, that it is the best age that we've ever entered into. It's the most enlightening age because it is the age of the promise of the latter rain. God promised to send us the latter rain in this age. Being the age of the latter rain, then it is the most enlightening age of all. When I come behind the sacred desk from time to time, I have a desire. And that desire is to expound to you the Word of God in the way that I understand it. To bring out the deepness of the revelation of Jesus Christ. But I'm not able to do that. Now, some people perhaps are able to do it. And if they can do it, well, that's good. I'm glad. Because I think it's wonderful if you can do that. But I can't do it. There's no way I can do it. I just can't do it. It has to be God to come forth and speak through me. I just can't do it to save my life. I've tried, and I can't do it. There's something about it that there's a great shaking, a great fearfulness, a great warning that drops over me when I come behind the sacred desk. And it's something that I can't explain. It makes me weak, and it drops over me. And there's a great fearfulness of everything that I say or what I'm going to do. And it hovers over me, and I have to just stand there and talk a little at a time until after a while there's something that seizes me. And when it does, I get a boldness that then it just doesn't matter. I mean, I could say anything and you could just do me anyway and it just wouldn't make any difference because there's something that happens to me that I cannot explain. But until that time, I just have to stand there and talk and stumble and stutter and hope and pray and wait to see if the Lord really will do what I desire for him to do. Because every time I come up here, I desire, almost every time, I desire that God would take me and speak through me. But as I said, this is a great time, a great privilege in this age because we are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that means that God, the Holy Spirit, can use us and speak through us. And when I come up here behind the sacred desk, I wait to see if God will speak through me that I might enlighten you or might say something to help you. If God will speak through me. Now, God speaks through you. God speaks through different people. You're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God dwells within you. And God can speak through you. Now, with me, I don't know how it is with you, but with me, I have to be perfectly in harmony with God. I have to have every feeling, every thought, every intent of my heart, every motive completely in harmony with God. If there is one tiny little reflect of my heart, of my mind, that I have the feeling that I'm out of harmony with God, then my faith doesn't register to do what I want God to do with me. Not because it isn't in my heart, because it is in my heart. Paul spoke of much revelation one time, and in my heart My heart is full of the revelation of Jesus Christ. It isn't that, but it's not like you've got virtue on the inside of you. It'd be just like this glass of water right here. You fill it up with water. That's what it's made for. So then you are a container, and God fills you up with the wonderful things of God. The Bible said that the trees of God are full of sap, and God fills us up with His wonderful Spirit and with His wonderful presence. And then David said, when the anointing comes, my cup overflows. Thirsty people get a drink. And so then we get filled up with the things of God, but to be able to convey them to somebody else, it takes Christ. Now, if you come in real hungry and thirsty, and you start pulling, you're not pulling on Brother Pike, because I couldn't do anything about it if you did. But if you come in with true faith in your heart, your faith starts touching God. When your faith starts touching God, then the same virtue comes out of you and me that came out of Jesus to the little woman, because we are the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when that virtue begins to come out to them that hunger and thirst, it's like a babe nursing the breast and the milk comes down. Our Bible speaks of nursing the breast of El Shaddai, desiring the sincere milk of the Word. And so then when you begin to pull on the breast of El Shaddai, then the Spirit of God comes down, the milk of the Word comes down, and then I receive the strength that I need to be able to talk to you. Because through me as an individual, The Word of God comes, which is Spirit and life, and I feel new strength and new life and new boldness, and my faith registers the more, and the more it registers, the more the fountain flows. That's why that a lot of times when we get started, it makes it so difficult for a true minister just to lay the Bible down and quit. Because he knows and understands that once the fountain is open to the people, that the people need to drink just as much as they possibly can, because it might be another month before it opens up. It just depends, you know. He might preach 50 other times, but it might be a whole month before it opens back up, depending on the hunger and the thirst of the people. But the people are not aware of this. And not being aware of this, then they just come to church every Sunday morning and they expect the minister to minister 15 or 20 or 30 minutes to them and then close up the book and that's it. And most ministers can do that. Most ministers can come to the pulpit and they can let you have the biggest kind of time. You can have such a time, it'd be like you've been in a football game or something. You just be thrilled beyond measure and excited. And when you leave, you just... But when you start looking back over the weekly days, or looking back to see what you retained from that service, you find out you didn't get anything. You had a great time, but when you really sum it up, you just had a great time in the flesh, and you never grew in the knowledge of God at all. And consequently, if you never grew in the knowledge, you never grew in the grace. So then, that is why that I speak like I do, because it is difficult. All of my life it's been difficult. I used to go, I'd get away somewhere and I'd cry. I'd just sit down and cry. My wife wouldn't know nothing about it. My children wouldn't know nothing about it. I'd just cry and bawl and cry. And I think, God, why is it like this with me? I feel so in such a complex. Why is it like that? I've got so much in my heart and I can get so little out, and I don't have the vocabulary means of expression to tell them what I'm trying to say. In other ministers, they just dance and shout and preach and have the biggest kind of time, and it just turned me all to pieces. Looked like it wasn't no trouble at all for them. But one day the Lord spoke to me and he told me, he said, it's because of being sincere. That you, when you get up there, he said, you realize that whatever you say to the people is only going to be a memory of what you studied or what you heard. And you're so desirous to tell them the truth and do what's right that you find yourself at a loss until I begin to talk. And that is the truth. So then when I come up here, a lot of times I wait to see just exactly what the Lord will do in inspiring me. And as I say, my heart is full of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I can't bring it out there to you. And as of true fact, God's always behind the badger skin in the age that we're living in. And so then it is a true fact that when they really believe the Almighty, Eternal, not president, but God of all the universe has come to visit with them. Then they begin to hunger and they begin to thirst. Because who could sit in a congregation and know that the eternal God was there that made the heavens, the earth, the sun, and the stars, the moon, and every blade of grass and not be stirred up? That's why Brother Taylor gets stirred up like he does here. A lot of people come to church on Sunday morning and I watch them and they think, there goes that silly Brother Taylor again, you know. Always acting like his cup's running over and acting like there's a great thing here to try to make us believe it. But Brother Taylor isn't trying to make you believe anything. Brother Taylor knows that God is here. And if you really had faith in God and the Word of God, and the Bible said two or three come together in His name, that He's in the midst of them, you'd automatically know that every time we assemble here, God is in the midst. And when God is in the midst, that's enough to turn cartwheels over. How do you know that? Amen. So that's, brother, that's the difference between some of you and Brother Taylor. He just believes, that's all. And he gets excited about it. Now, it never gets old to him. You know, the one thing that God chided with him about and was really upset with him about was the fact that the people lost their enthusiasm toward God. They lost their first love toward God. They wasn't excited over it. They wasn't enthused over it. Like Paul said one time, Paul said, I would that you were spiritual. If a person is natural-minded or carnal-minded, I can feel it just like you laid a brick on top of my head. That's right. I feel like I'm laying down, you know, and it's just a great weight on me, and I can't get out from under it, and I can't move, and it remains there until all of a sudden that little thing clicks down in there, and faith registers, and the anointing comes, and then the evil powers of light just causes the darkness to flee away into nothing. See, because it busts that old carnal mind just like it would a clod. And the old evil demon spirit, a snake that's laying upon there, he runs off. So, it's that way with me. I had a person sitting on my platform over yonder one night under the tent. And the person was carnal minded and it hurt me so bad I felt like somebody had traces on me. You know, like a horse hooked to traces. I couldn't do nothing. Until I kind of scramble around, and after a while I broke the traces and I broke the bonds, and that evil spirit lifted, and that boy began to get the fear of God, and the spiritual mind began to come in, that old bondage and darkness limb. So it makes a lot of difference. Folks, listen. When you come to the house of God, the Bible said, be more ready to hear than give the sacrifice of fools. For God hath no pleasure in fools. So faith cometh by hearing, and he purifies our hearts by faith. So when we come in the house of God, the first thing that we ought to do is start having faith. It's necessitated to our salvation that we have faith. Then we start believing. You say, have faith? What do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean believing in the Word of God. Setting your faith as they did on the day of Pentecost to believe in the Word of God. Then when you start believing in the Word of God, all of a sudden as you start believing, you feel that great Spirit of God. Like in the Old Testament, they'd take the timbrels and they'd beat the timbrels and they'd shout and they'd sing to create the right atmosphere that Jehovah could drop down right in the midst and talk with them. Now I know today he can do that through the blood. But it is necessary for us, if we be partakers of the blood, then it is necessary for us to make a spiritual effort. See, some of you come in here that's been in college and been in school in different places, and you're real carnal mind, you just sat there waiting for me to do something for you. See, you look at me just like you would some natural-minded teacher that's over there in school or in college somewhere. And you expect me to, if I did that, I'd just have to take the word and I'd have to read a line here and say this jot means this and this tittle means this, and I'd have to do it like they did in the days when they translated the Bible into the King James Version. That's carnal-minded. See, but I can't do that. When you come, you've got to believe, and when you start believing, then the Spirit of God comes down, which is the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the revelation of life. Some folks call it the revelation of Jesus Christ. You could just say the revelation of life, because Jesus Christ was the Word of Spirit and life. So, when we come together, it's necessary for you to come in here believing, whether it's with Brother Pike or whatever service you go into. You should go in there believing with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your spirit, sweet, soft, tender, realizing that you're nothing and humbling yourself, because God gives more grace to the humble. That's why God don't use people with college educations as a rule.
That's why God don't use people that are great celebrities that have a great name in the world. And that's why God doesn't use people that have a lot of money and power and influence. The reason for that is because God cannot work through anybody that's not humble. He giveth more grace to the humble. And it takes being real humble for God to be able to use you. And so then he can't use them. It isn't that he doesn't want to use them. But you let a man get a few years of college and he feels like he's really something. I don't care how much you preach to him, talk to him, tell him he ain't nothing and got a bunch of junk in his head, yet he still feels like he's something. And because of that, he puts up a barrier. You say, but brother, look, don't you know that Paul counted all of his learning as dung? You just got a head full of dung and you need to get rid of it? But you can't tell him that. See, it does something to him and he's not tender. God complained against him in the wilderness because of that one thing. He sit out there in the wilderness, you mumble and you grumble and you doubt and you don't believe and you've got the ways of Egypt. The Bible tells us not to learn the ways of the heathen, not to practice the things of the heathen. So then God is expecting us, see, not to be overconfident. If we've ever been in business, had some kind of business, had a little money, a little prestige, it's hard for God to ever use us because we've got overconfident. If we're a person that thinks we're, you know, there's some men and women that think they're handsome and good looking, you know, as the world says, and if a person ever feels that way, God still can't use them. So then it takes being spiritual. God is looking for somebody that's humble and somebody that's meek and somebody that realizes that they're nothing but the dust and the powder of the earth. That's right. A lot of people say, well, I don't believe it's necessary to go through all of that stuff. But that's not stuff. That's Bible. That's God. It is necessary to go through all that stuff. Amen. I've told it a number of times here. How that a black man once told a white man it kept wanting salvation. He kept wanting to get it, and he knew that the old Negro had it, and so he kept telling him, I want what you got, I want what you got. He said, all you got to do is get in the hog pen, get in the hog pen. But every time the man came down, you know, he said, well, I can't do that. I can't do that. But one day the weight got so heavy, according to the little story, that the man come down and said, I want what you got, and get in the hog pen, I will to get it. And then the black man that was an elder, he said, you don't have to do that. He said, all you have to do is be willing to do that. In other words, to get the starch out of you. Like the prophet told the man when he got down to the muddy River Jordan, it really wasn't necessary for him to get in the mud, because the mud wasn't what did it. But when he humbled his heart enough to be able to be willing to get in the mud, then God did something for him. And that's exactly the way it is. We need to humble our heart enough to where we can come down and realize that we are nothing. And when we do, then God will do something for us. As long as we fill ourselves and fill our eye, it don't make any difference. It might be one way or another, but it's all the same thing. It adds up to the very same thing. Wanting to do something for us. I read to you this morning how he said he just hide away a little while. God said, I'll just withdraw from them a little while and just hide away until they humble their hearts and until they realize that they need me and until they understand. Now, somebody would say, well, what do you mean by that, Brother Pine? I mean, the prophets would hide away. Somebody said, well, it would make no difference if the prophets hid away. But it does. If God takes away the ministry, you're in bad shape, folks. Just because we are the body of Christ and the Spirit of God's with us, that doesn't mean that we can get by without the ministry. How do you understand that? Somebody said, well, bless God, I got the Holy Ghost, and it don't make any difference to me whether it's a preacher or not. I'm going to heaven. You don't know how ignorant you are. That's right. And Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. You say, you mean to tell me that I've got the Holy Ghost and I still got to listen to a preacher? You sure have. Cornelius had the Holy Ghost. God gave it to him down there and he still had to listen to Peter. And he baptized in Jesus' name by the preaching of the word. So then, it makes a difference. Somebody would say, well, I feel like God sent him preachers out there so that they'll go forth and get them old hard-headed folks out there that's sinners that don't know nothing about God. That wasn't why he sent them. That wasn't why he sent them. Yeah, you say, you mean that God didn't send the preachers to win the lost? No, that's not what the Bible said he sent them for. What's the preacher got to win the lost for? Tell me, how can the preacher win the lost? The Bible teaches that we're saved in Christ before the world ever was. That we're predestinated in Christ. How could a preacher win the lost? God didn't set the minister there for that purpose. The Bible said he put the minister there for the perfecting of the saints. So then, if you're a saint, that means you got to have God's Spirit. But if you got God's Spirit, you still got to be perfected. And it takes the ministry to do it. So if you got the Holy Ghost, you still need to listen. Some of you have run from coast to coast with everything but the Holy Ghost. So then, we need to listen. Always need to listen to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. You might have the Spirit of God, and you might make the biggest mess of anybody that you've ever seen. Come on, folks. I said you might have the Spirit of God and still make the biggest mess of anybody else. Somebody would say, well, how could you do that? You ever seen a baby make a mess? But yet he's got the Spirit of life, hasn't he? And then daddy and mama has to clean it up. Isn't that right? Both of them's got the Spirit of life, but look what a mess the baby made. You understand what I'm saying? You ever seen a little junior, a little sissy about so high, tear up things and wreck things and make a mess? Daddy and mama has to come along and patch and nail and hammer and saw and glue it back up. You see what I'm saying? See, life is a wonderful thing. And if you got the Holy Spirit, you got life. But it takes more than that. Not that it takes more than life to live, but it takes a maturity in God. It takes a maturity of life. Have you followed me this morning? It is necessary for us to come into the house of God with faith and with confidence in the minister and in the word. How do you know you got to have some confidence in the minister? A lot of people say, well, I don't have any confidence in flesh. I don't blame you. I don't either. The Bible tells us that we are they that have no confidence in the flesh. But when it says we are they that have no confidence in the flesh, it means in the intellectual perspective of life. It means people out there that's never been born again. That's the flesh. It's not talking about bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. It's not talking about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to love one another and have confidence in one another. God commands us to do that, to love one another. We do it unto each other, we do it as unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? So then we're to love one another. That's what causes us to be able to get the things of God. If I have confidence in Brother Arthur, then I submit myself unto Brother Arthur. Is that right? If I have no confidence in him, then I won't submit myself unto him. That's why it's necessary not to be vainly puffed up by what we know or what we understand. It is necessary for us to submit ourselves one to another, not as unto the flesh, but to know the man after the Spirit and not after the flesh, to submit ourselves as unto the Lord Jesus Christ. It's necessary for us to reverence, to respect, to honor the temple that is God's temple and is God inside of it, the Holy Spirit. Is that right? But when a person feels like they know, they are, and they will, they are lost. But when you feel like you can and he can and he will, if you'll believe, then you're all right. That's the only way that you'll ever get it across. So then, church members of today, it's sad in the Pentecostal Wholeness, in the UPC, in the Church of God, it's sad when you go in there. Those people are so starchy and so lifted up and so confident till they got just like the Jews of old. They feel like everybody else is a dog and they're on their way. That's right. But God has undermined their foundation. Their women are wearing miniskirts. Their men are beginning to wear their long hair. And when they look around, after a while, they're going to be like Samson was in the dungeon. And Delilah's going to have them bound. And they're going to be just like the world. And they're going to find out they can't be haughty and high-minded anymore. They'll be just like the Jews. When the Jews turned and began to rotten on God, God sent them down into Babylon. And 70 years they stayed down there with the same people that they wanted to follow. With. But after 70 years, they were willing to get out of the mess and get out of that terrible, awful place down there and get back over and be a separate people. You know, that's the way it is with the church world today. They want to get down there and they want to mix and mingle with that slop. Get out there with them. They just can't stand it. You take God, raises up a singer. And maybe the person can sing real good, but they can't be exclusive for God. They just got to get out there and dabble around. I know some quartets right now that are out there that God raised up in holiness, but they got out there and got a little fame, and they had to split the dresses a little bit and wear the tight clothes a little bit. little bit and let their hair grow out a little bit so that they could get the praise of a bunch of swine. All root and wallow together. But after they stay out there till they stink in the sight of God, they'll be glad to get back over here and be exclusive for Christ. That's what God had to do with the Jews. They kept wanting to get over there and kept inching over a little and inching over a little in the world till finally God just emptied the whole thing out like a bunch of garbage. It got down there in Babylon, stayed down there about 70 years, and when they began to smell like the goats, they were ready to get out of there. They couldn't even stand their own selves. Somebody say amen. That's what he's done to the church world. God hasn't forsaken it, Brother Sweden. God still loves the people in the Church of God. He still loves the people in the Pentecostal Holiness. He still loves the people in the UPC. But when they get through with all of the stuff that they're doing out there, when Oral Roberts gets enough of show business, and the ones that's following him gets enough of show business, and they turn around and come back to God, then everything will work out right. But as long as they got that old stuff in them, they got to get it out. It's like an old possum. You can eat him, but you can't eat him till he gets all the old filth out of him. Now, so then, I'm not meaning to scold anybody, but this is the way I feel. It's just something about it that you can't explain. People need to have faith in God. And to have faith in God, you got to be holy and you got to be clean and you got to do everything you can. You got to walk upright. You got to get your mind off of the world, off of them people out there, and be a separate people and touch not the unclean things. That's what got Saul in trouble with God. How do you know that? God raised him up, made him a great king, gave him a great kingdom, but Saul just couldn't stay away from that out there. He wanted to get a hold of some of that out there. And he used the excuse. He said, well, God, I wanted to get it so I could divide it with you and the saints. God doesn't want the filth out there. God's able to give us what he wants us to have. He can give it to us by faith. It's like a brother come to me the other day. He was sitting in there and he just couldn't rest. He just like a worm on a hot rock, he just couldn't rest. He squirmed. Well, I knew what he was wanting. I knew he was wanting an offering. I knew he was. Preacher of fasting, preacher of outstanding preacher, preaches on the tents, preaches different places. But I knew that he didn't have enough faith to believe God to take care of him. Come on, folks. That's ones that you're listening to. And he squirmed, and he kept on, and he couldn't rest. He wanted an offering. I knew what he wanted. But I knew that God had already spoke to me probably an hour before that time to give the man an offering. And I was waiting until he got ready to leave to give him a nice offering. But he didn't have enough faith and confidence to believe God was going to do it. So he finally got around to asking for one. Come on, folks. I said, sure, I'm going to give you an offering. I said, the Lord's already spoke to me to give it to you. And that tore him up. It just tore him to pieces. He began to tell me how he didn't care for money and it didn't mean nothing to him and all these other things, you know. And I perceive it was some sincerity in the man. But the thing is, we need to have faith in God. We come in here a lot of times, and we don't come believing. We don't come really believing that God's going to give us anything. And then when something finally breaks through, we are plumb ashamed. That's right, we think, well, I had it all wrong. I thought this was one of them dead days, and this is one of them holy days. There are no dead days with God. Every day for a Christian is a holy day. Every day is an exciting day for a Christian. The only reason you have bad days is because you have unbelief. If you'd get up every morning believing God, you wouldn't have any bad days. If you'd stay out of the garbage can and quit eating out of the garbage can of the old carnal mind, you wouldn't have the stomach ache, spiritually speaking. Wouldn't have something spiritually wrong with you all the time. I have people that come around and they say, Brother Pike, and they drop their head, Brother Pike, I just so-and-so, Brother Pike, and I'm not mocking you. Brother Pike, will you pray for me, so-and-so. And I think, yep, you've been eating out of the garbage can again. If you'd stay out of the garbage can, you wouldn't feel like that. The last time I talked to you, you didn't feel like that. Now, I know people have battles. I know they go through places where they're scarred. Just like I got a man here now, he's overconfident himself. He is so sure that he is a great prophet and that God's called him to do such a great work and it's a positive thing according to what I understand. He won't never do it because God ain't called him for that. He's a prophet in his mind. He's a prophet in his thoughts. He's a prophet in the way he feels about it, but not in God's sight. He's not at all like that. It's an overconfident thing. But I'll tell you what, if a man will humble his heart and realize he ain't nothing and forget about what he thinks he is, then he can be something. The Bible said when you think you're something and you're nothing, you deceive yourself. Amen. That's the way a lot of folks do. But the Bible said if you got something, then let it be proven and you'll have rejoicing in it. If you got something, folks can see it. If you ain't, they're going to see nothing but your ignorance. Now, a gift will make a way for a man. How many of you know that? But he that boasts himself of a false gift is like a well without any water. When it comes time to produce, he can't produce it. Is that right? But if there's a real spiritual Christ in your heart, you can produce the water and take care of the thirsty. Hallelujah. So then it is a wonderful day. It's a wonderful time. I'm excited in the morning. I'm excited at night. I'm excited in the evening time. I'm never bothered about the things of the world of wanting to go out there. That don't even bother me. The only thing that ever crosses my mind in this way is that I want to do something for God. And I shiver and I shake to think that any thought, any little thing, might hinder me from doing what I want to do for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I thought about the convention that you're having up yonder at the Brothers Church. The brother coming all the way out of Arizona, having a great convention, a great gathering. Two or three of our people went up there, Brother Marlowe and Brother James and some of them went up there to it. No doubt it was a great convention, great people, great get-together. And when you get together like that, it can knock you for a loop. Just go with them and see. Now you say, you mean it's wrong for them to get together? It's not wrong. You say, is it wrong, Brother Pine, for them to believe in the prophet, Brother Branham? It's not wrong. Not wrong to believe in Paul the Apostle. But I want to remind you again, and those that went up there, that Brother Branham is dead. Brother Branham can't be your pastor. Brother Branham's dead for 10 long years. And God has done some new things since Brother Branham's been dead. Some brand new things that Brother Branham never preached nor never did even know. That means that some of you need to move up in God. You need to move up in the Lord. Get your faith up. Get spiritual in God. And realize that Christ is going on. Hallelujah. God's doing things in this day that Peter never did know nothing about. You can say amen or oh me. Amen. God's doing things in this day that Paul the Apostle never knew nothing about. Somebody would say, now Paul said, they that seem to be somewhat in conference adds nothing to me. And I saw things that wasn't permitted for me to speak. I know that. And Paul saw it all. Hallelujah, didn't he? But he never saw my little David being born in the world. He never saw your little sissy being born in the world. He never did have a chance to see the locks hanging on the head. God's doing something else. Hallelujah. God's always moving. God said, I'll do a new thing. God is brand new. God will always be brand new. Hallelujah. When we've been up yonder in heaven for 10 billion years, wake up. Well, won't be no wake up because we won't ever go to sleep. But after 10 billion years, everything will be brand new. God will still be doing a new thing. But the Bible said of the increase of his kingdom, there shall be no end. His kingdom shall increase and increase and increase and increase. That's these intellectual PhDs, 5 or 6 years in college. Go to college for 2 or 3 years, and they've got everything learned, and they got a little out of this book, and a little out of this book, and a little out of this book, and they become a bookworm. Like some of the people of today, they take the Bible, and the Bible's nothing more than a book to them. They get a little bit out of this, and a little bit out of that writing, a little bit from this prophet, and a little bit from this apostle, and when they get through, they just got a little bit of vain understanding. God's doing something new. You don't have to holler at me, but the Bible said, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Says, show my people of their sins, not somebody else, and my people. They delight to know me. They take pleasure in approaching unto me. Where have we fasted? Say they, some of them, go through a lot of fasting. Wherefore have we fasted, they say. Hallelujah, and you don't know that I'm the man. Praise God, you can fast or you turn blue in the face. That doesn't mean you're the man. God does what he wants to whenever he gets ready. With whomsoever he pleaseth. Somebody said, you just wait till I get through fasting. You'll see I'm Brother Branham. You'll never be Brother Branham. Brother Branham is dead. You can't be Brother Branham. Brother Branham's dead. He done his work. He's gone. The body's laying up there in Jeffersonville. If you don't believe it, go up there and dig it up. He's dead. And the Bible said the dead know not anything. All you can be is you. Amen. It's all you can ever be is you. And if you're living in this age, you're better than Brother Branham. Oh, somebody said, Brother Pike. Come on, folks. Come on, folks. Wake up. What about the Word? What does the Word say about it? Even a living dog's better than a dead man. Come on, that's the Bible. If you're a living dog, you're better off than Brother Branham. He's dead. Come on, folks. That's what the Word said. God said for me to preach the Word. A living dog's better than a dead man. Boy, I'll tell you what. I'll get a repercussion after this. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? Amen. So then the dead know not anything. You say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that a dog is better than a human being? I didn't say that. I wasn't what I said. You did. Bible said, take heed how you hear. And give the more earnest heed to what you've heard so you'll be able to understand it afterwards. Isn't that right? I'm trying to get you to see that going back for Brother Branham's way of life back there, in those things, his way of life is good. But there is an advancement in God today that Brother Branham did not come into. When you go back, you're backing up. You're going back into Egypt. Somebody said, bless God, I don't believe that. Well, let me prove it to you. Let me prove it to you. The Bible said, prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Have you believe that God made Moses God? Can you get any greater than that? Can you be any greater than God? Come on, folks. Said, I made you God to Aaron and the people. Can you get any greater than that? Is that right? But God said to Joshua, tell him Moses is dead. And if they go back to Moses, back in that way, they're back down there in Egypt and back down there in the wilderness. Is that right? Stay with Joshua. Is that what he told him? It's the same way. How do you believe that Jesus Christ is the greatest thing that ever happened to the earth? How do you believe that? But try living Jesus Christ without the Holy Ghost. Why don't you try it, folks? Why don't you try being the body of Christ without the Holy Ghost? You understand what I'm saying? The reason I'm talking like this is some folks has done backslid. Amen. Instead of going forward, they done backslid. Now, I believe that's why the Lord let everything happen like it did. All things working together for the good of them that love the Lord. I believe God wanted to use a little something this morning to stir me up. Get me moving just a little bit this morning to where he could say something that might help somebody. Folks, let me tell you something. Now, you listen at me. Paul was a great man. Peter was a great man. John was a great man. All that was great. But there is something that Brother Branham didn't know. There is something that Paul didn't know. There is something that John didn't know and something that others didn't know. Paul said unto us is made known the manifold wisdom of God. Now, we're seeing some things. Not only are we seeing some things, but the Bible said God's mercy is new every day. Brother Branham didn't see God's mercy for the day that was brand new. Paul didn't see it because he's not here to see it. If they saw it, it wouldn't be brand new. I'm the one that's seen it. I'm the one that's enjoyed it. Brother Branham's gone. Paul's gone. I'm enjoying the grace of today. This brand new grace. His mercies are new every day. This is a new mercy.
You say, Paul enjoyed this new mercy. Paul enjoyed the mercy God gave him for that day. This is the mercy for God's day. Where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. Sin is abounding much more in our day, so grace is abounding much more in our day. Now, it's like I've said so many times when Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. God said, all right, Solomon, I'll do a new thing. Has Jesus ever been crucified before, set forth, evidently crucified before the eyes of the people? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, was that new? Brand spanking new. Oh, no, somebody said, but Brother Pike, Christ was crucified in the mind of God before the world ever was. That's right, and that's what Solomon was talking about. Nothing new under the sun. But the Bible said when Paul preached it, before whose eyes he was evidently set forth. There were some eyes that had never seen him that saw him as he went to Calvary. Amen. There's some eyes today that's never seen him. And he'll come back in the clouds and you'll see the nail prints and it'll be a new thing because you've never seen it. Some bankers has never seen it. Some celebrities has never seen it. When he walks up to the Jews and shows it to them, this generation has never seen it. Hallelujah. Brand spanking new. God's new. You know why God does that? To keep you from sticking your nose in a book and getting overconfident or getting some tape somewhere and becoming overconfident to the place that you won't listen at God in the ministry. Don't you know that's a stink in the nostrils of God? Come on, people. I said it's a stink in the nostrils of God for you to get a book and get a tape when God's got the ministry. That's all right for you to listen to tapes. It's all right for you to read books. But you listen to the preacher. It's a stink to God. That's why the whole thing's rotten and God's withdrawing from it. It's contrary to the Bible. You say, Brother Pike, what makes you believe it that God's withdrawing? Look at him. I made the statement here a while back. When you go to laying handkerchiefs before tapes, when you have not a love for the truth, don't God turn you over to a reprobate mind, let you believe a lie and be damned? Because they won't go on with the ministry. What are they doing? They're being turned over to a reprobate mind and laying handkerchiefs before a tape recorder. That's absurd. They're saying that Brother Branham's still the pastor. That's lies. A reprobate mind, believe a lie and be damned. Because they love not the truth. What is the truth? The Word. What is the Word? The fivefold ministry that's in the church today by the perfecting of the saints of the living God. Still here. It's an abomination in the sight of God when you go back to them things. Now somebody said, what do you mean by that, Brother Pike? You don't move me. Well, listen, and I will. Amen. Now you say, what do you mean? I say it's a stink in God's nostrils. Can you prove it by the Bible? Sure, the Bible said prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Then what does the Bible teach? The Bible said when the minister's speaking, it's not him speaking, but God. Now do you think God is ready to go up in a corner and read a book? Or come and hear God speak? Come on, folks. You say, but that was God. That's exactly it. That was. Come on, folks. Somebody said, but that was. That's exactly what I'm saying. That was. But I'm not talking about was. I'm talking about is. God is not the I was or the I am over yonder. He's the or the I shall be. He's the I am of right now. That's right. He's a present help in the time of need. God wants to speak to you right now, folks. God wants to speak to you out of his vessel, out of his temple. Did God die when Paul went off the scene? Did God die when John went off the scene? Come on, folks. Did God die when Abraham went off the scene? Did God die when Moses went off the scene? No, God didn't die. God didn't tell Joshua to go tell the camp God was dead, did he? Did he? Somebody said, bless God, that precious prophet, he's dead and gone. That's the end of it. Folks, God ain't dead. God ain't dead. God's not dead. That wasn't the end of God. Brother Branham was a vessel he used. God still got vessels today. Oh, somebody can't digest that. Well, if that's so, then that means I'll have to unchristianize you. If God doesn't live in vessels today, that means nobody's got the Holy Ghost. Have we got anybody that's got the Holy Ghost? Yes. Then you must not believe what you're standing for. You need to get in harmony with what you're teaching. You understand what I'm saying? God still got vessels of the day. Somebody said, but it ain't as great as Brother Branham. You mean to tell me that the body of the Lord Jesus Christ is not as great as Brother Branham? Come on, folks. But somebody said, but that was the body. I'm not saying it was. I'm talking about is. I'm talking about is. But now wait, somebody said, but Brother Pike, there's no buts about it. When that body laid down in the clay, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life left that body. That body's waiting for the redemption. That body can't feel nothing and knows nothing. Somebody said, but yes, but Brother Pike, what about that which was in it? That's what I'm talking about. He's over here with me today. Is he with you today? Is he with you today? He's over here with me today. Hallelujah. So then what I'm trying to say today is that God is with us. The devil delights in killing the church. Sure he does. You know how he kills the church? By saying, I was. I was. You know how he kills a man and a woman? They'll sit around and mope and pine and say, one day I was pretty, you know, and I could curl my pretty curls. Come on. A man will look at his old bald head and he say, you know, I used to was. Is that right? But I like men like Caleb and Joshua and Moses and some of the men back there like Abraham, 70 and 80 and 90 years old, that will get up and say, I'm not a I was, I am and I am. Hallelujah, I can still do it by God's grace. You're not too young, you're not too old, you're not too big, you're not too small. But the devil loves to sap you of your life. Some of you people get 40 years old and you start moping around and saying, well, boy, I tell you, I've heard them tell young folks, they'll be standing around and say, man, you just don't know what you got. If I was so-and-so, and I think, no, you wouldn't. You hypocrites, you wouldn't do nothing because you could do it right now and you're not doing it. Somebody said, I'm just so tired and weary in my body. It's because of your sins and evil. Amen. If you will get up and start for God, God will break the yoke off of you. And you'll be able to do something for Christ. Yeah, have you understood what I'm saying? Now, God is moving over here. You got an opportunity for God, folks. If you got breath in your body, you got an opportunity for God. If you got breath in your body, you can do something for God. I admire Brother Blake. Brother Blake's a man that's done got way up in years. Isn't it right? But he's not sitting around moping about what he can't do. He's went and bought him a tent and a trailer and all of the things he needs to carry the word. To me, that's God. That's God. You know what's wrong with you? What it is, you just won't admit it. You got one hand out yonder in the world and you got some worldly goods out there and you don't want to turn loose of them. So you use every excuse you can by not going on with God. I wonder, the other night there's a ball game over here in town in Monroe and hundreds of youth was up there. Now I got up there and my little Danny and Joe passed out all the tracks we had in the car. But I wondered that night, y'all went up there to eat ice cream and all kind of goodies. And I said, my heart, I wonder how many remember Jesus tonight. All them youths running around up there wanting to preach the gospel, got a great burning zeal. I thought, how many of them going to remember Jesus tonight? I ain't going to ask you to raise your hand. Have you remembered the ice cream shop? I ain't going to ask you to raise your hand on that either. You understand what I'm saying, folks? We talk about nothing to do when the Bible said, go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that the house may be filled up. Somebody would say, well, it ain't no need of me telling them. They ain't coming anyway. No, that's right. There ain't no need of you telling them because you ain't got what it takes to tell them, and they wouldn't come anyway after they heard you. They'd probably surely stay away. But I'll tell you what, if you don't go over there testifying to the giants and telling somebody, say, why come you don't come over to little Bethlehem? We got the most beautiful building out there that you just about ever saw. Somebody said, well, I heard about Brother Pike. Well, yeah, I understand that, but we just have to endure that. Come on out to little Bethlehem. We heard about that old Frank Taylor over there. Yeah, I know it's bad, but we just got the prettiest grounds out there. We got a sewing club. Come on, folks. I'm talking about reality. When you don't testify the joints, if you've got a brother over here and the brother's not doing right, try to help him. If you've got a sister that needs help, give her a helping hand. Try to do something for her. Instead of criticizing her, tearing him down, try to do something for him, try to help him. How do you ever expect to get anybody to hear the gospel? Anybody to little Bethlehem? You're going to have to testify of the glories of God and the things of God, and if you don't believe in them, you need to get on your horse and ride off. Hallelujah! I said, if you don't believe God's here, you need to get on your horse and ride off. Because you're blind as a bat anyway. There wouldn't be nothing nobody could show you anyway. The Bible said if just two or three are gathered together, I will be in the midst of them. And if you ain't seen him now, I'm pretty sure you'll never see him. So you need to ride on off, because you'll never be none but a troublemaker and cause division. But you that's got your mind on God, you that's got your mind on going to heaven, you that don't want to burn in a lake of fire, you that wants to escape the lust of the flesh and the evils of the world, you need to put your faith in the preacher and in the Word and come to the house of God and link arms with me and go on. And if you got so much education, you're so high-minded that every time you come into the sanctuary of God, you're carnally cause trouble, you need to get off and fast and pray till you can break it. Don't do like some folks. The more you fast, some people, the more they fast, the more haughty they get. The more contrary they get, the more overconfident they get. Israel was like that. The more they fasted, the more overconfident they got, till God just cut them all off. Quit messing with them and said, I won't even hear you fasting and praying no more. That's right. You can fast in the sight of God and keep getting haughty and get contrary until God, your fasting won't even do you any more good. Somebody say, well, if fasting is no more good, might as well leave it alone. You know, a glutton, he wants to feed his belly all the time. He's looking for the other way out. But it didn't say God threw the fasting away. He put the Jews away. Fasting is still good for you. How do you know that? To fast before God and to pray before God is good for you. Hallelujah. To still fast. But he said fast this way. To make your voice to be heard on high. To humble your heart down here. Not to lift yourself up and to make folks think you're something that you ain't. I'm not through yet. That'll help you. Everybody's drawing to a close but me. Not everybody. I'm not through, and if we all stay in one mind, we'll draw to a close together. Amen. These things I feel like we need to know. And I believe God let things happen like it did this morning just for me to exhort you a little bit this morning. But we need to understand that if we do not have confidence in Christ and in the minister of little Bethlehem, that we need to go somewhere else and find a preacher that we do have confidence in. Because Brother Pike can never help a person that doesn't have any confidence in me. That's right. Now, Jesus couldn't help anybody that didn't have confidence in him. The Bible said the things he wanted him to do, he could not do because of our unbelief in him. Brother Branham couldn't. His cases where he had to send him to Mayo's Clinic. He said so himself. Couldn't help him, and yet he had the power of God. Brother Roberts testified that... Or I've heard the testimony, not from Oral Roberts, but the testimony that they came to Oral Roberts' meetings didn't get healed. Why? They didn't have enough confidence. But I've also heard testimonies where they came to those meetings and stood up and the man of God told them, said, I just ain't got enough faith to believe it. God will do what you expect to come out of me. And I've heard of people said, I don't care whether you believe or not. God told me that if you'd pray for me, it'll happen. And he stood there and the man prayed for him, and according to their own testimony, it happened. God honored the faith because they had the confidence. Said, God said you was the man. Somebody said, I don't believe that. Well, Jesus told them back there, said, don't do the way the scribes do, but listen to what they got to say. Isn't that right? Balaam, I wouldn't want to do like Balaam done, but what he said back there was the right thing. Isn't that right? It was God speaking through him. Is that right? So then we need to have confidence, not only in Brother Pike as a minister, but you need to have confidence in one another. Some of you don't have any confidence in one another. You're like the world. You don't have any confidence in anybody, but you need to have some confidence in one another, folks. Somebody said, well, I don't have any confidence in the flesh. Well, I'll tell you what, you sure are vainly puffed up by the flesh that you've got confidence in, which is your own self. not to have any confidence in the flesh. Seems like all the confidence you got's in the flesh, but it's your own flesh. Your own thoughts, your own way of life, your own thing, what you think about it. Like I said so often, somebody said, well, I ain't going to follow a man, but that's all you ever do is follow your old man. What you think about it, what you believe about it, what you know about it, that's all you ever do. Folks, we might as well get away from those foolish things and realize that God's got a body in the earth, and that body's got many members. And God may speak to me through one member. He may speak to me through another member. He may speak to you through a member. And you're nothing more than a member. That's all I am. You understand? So when we come together, we need to acknowledge the measure that's in the member. If you've got a little measure, a big measure, a whole lot of measure, whatever it is, I need to acknowledge it according to what I see in you by the Word and not by what I think. Hallelujah. Somebody fend the sparks a little. I feel them cooling off. Now, you say, how can I fan the sparks? Sometimes just by popping your hands that his fan's in his hand. You love the Lord? Now, I want to say just a few more things, and I'm going to close here. Seems like it just turned out to be an exhorting service. Folks, I go through a lot of problems, a lot of heartaches. Paul said he was in continual sorrow. So I guess we're made the offscouring of the earth, and while we're abased, you abound. All these things. I would to God that you did. I'd like to do it with you. But there's one thing I found, and that is that Christ in these things is more than a conqueror, and we're more than a conqueror through him. It doesn't matter what it is. We're more than a conqueror. We can conquer. If we want to, we can conquer. Now, if we will, now it's like now, see, some of you done gone completely out. That proves that you're wandering stars without any light because you done gone out. The only light you ever get is when a few of these true lights in heaven come on and you reflect them. You come in, you're just as dark as you can be. That is, you're in your old carnal mind. And you stay that way until a few godly stars that I got in here begins to light up. When they begin to light up, you begin to reflect it, and you're just like a coal glowing. Just as quick as they simmer down a little bit, your light goes out, and there you sit in darkness again. That old carnal mind of reasoning, that's darkness. Every time you go back to resentment and wondering, trying to figure it out, and the way you feel about it and what you think about it, it shows you one of them wandering stars that the Bible speaks of whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. That's right. Now, I felt like, before I come here this morning, that God was going to let something happen that I wouldn't be able to bring this message forth until I come back from the Carolinas. But I said, Lord, I'm going to press on anyway because I promised on Sunday morning to bring it forth, and I'm going to make sure that I don't misunderstand what you're telling me. Now, so he didn't let me bring it forth, but this morning the exhortation that I gave you, you need, brethren. You need to get this in your mind. Some of you, the meeting that they had over yonder, I know was a great meeting. Those are great people. And I have nothing to say against them because I know that they're great people. I have nothing to say against the Church of God. They are great people. I have nothing to say against the Assemblies of God. They are great people. Nor against the Baptists. They're great people. Some of the Baptists have come out of the Baptist church and have proved to be greater Pentecostals than some of the Pentecostals that left the Pentecostal church to go into the Baptists and Methodists. So you may have some Baptists in your Pentecostal and some Pentecostals in your Methodists. How do you know that's all mixed up? Oral Roberts was in the Pentecostal when he was a Methodist. Brother Jimmy was in the Baptist when he was a Pentecostal. Is that right? So you can't criticize and find fault. You don't know what it is. The elect is coming from everywhere. And them that spots and blemishes among our feast of charity that's in here that appears to be elect, God's plucking out. Every plant my heavenly Father's not planning to be plucked up, he's getting rid of them. Now, but the thing is, they are a great people. They're doing a great thing. I have nothing to say against it. But let me tell you, you can take this any way you want to. When you go into that, when God is moving on, it positively proves that you do not have the new thing of God that God's doing. Now you can say it any way you want to and call yourself anything you want to, but there's one thing about it. God isn't going to take and go back and preach a message that's already been preached. Come on, folks. Brother Branham preached Brother Branham's message, and there's no need for God to go back and re-preach it, because it's on tape and it's on in books and everything else, and I'm not preaching again Brother Branham's message. I'm preaching the message God gave me for this hour. Brother Branham did not go back and preach Paul's message. Paul preached his own message. Somebody said, well, I believe Brother Branham preached the same thing Paul did. I'm preaching the same thing Brother Branham preached. Amen. If there was nothing new for God to do, he ought to just cut it off in the days of Paul and say, that's enough. Is that right? There must have been something else he wanted to say. He kept us around, didn't he? I said he kept us around. There must have been something else he wanted to say. If he'd said all that he wanted to say in Brother Branham's day, why didn't he stop the thing 10 years ago? There must have been something else he wanted to say. Somebody said, yes, but bless God, it was what Brother Branham said about it. That's what he wanted to say. All right, then what about that poor fellow Daniel that I talked to the other day down in Mississippi down there? Come on, folks. What about him? He must have been at least 60 years old or more. I went to talk to him about Jesus. He was in one of the leading Pentecostal churches. I said, and of course you probably know Brother Branham. Never heard of him. Come on, folks. I said, you never heard of Brother Branham? Thought, said, no, I never heard of him. Come on, folks. Somebody said, well, he's one of them bastard children. He didn't talk like one to me. He was as sweet as honey. One of the sweetest little brothers. He's talking about coming over here to Bethlehem to visit with us. Just as sweet and precious as he could be. Talk about God the whole time and wasn't gossiping and finding fault. I said, what about him? Don't you see how absurd it is for you to take the outlook you're taking? There's hundreds of thousands of people through the world that never heard Brother Branham, that will never hear about him. But they'll go right on to heaven. Come on, folks. They'll go right on to heaven. Is that right? Now somebody said, well, what does that prove? That proves that those that are following Brother Branham are Brother Branham followers. Is that right? Is that right? All right. There you are right there. Now somebody said, well, how will they ever know about Brother Branham? Because the gospel's going to be published in all the world for witness. Brother James, right here, our little brother, he might have to be the one that'll do it. But it'll come. Brother Arthur might be the one to do it, but it'll come. See, when this gospel is published right here, they'll know about Paul, won't they? They'll know about Paul, won't they? Because the gospel's been published. They might not never know about Brother Branham, but they'll know about Paul, won't they? Is that right? Because the gospel's got to be published in all the world for a witness. Come on, folks. So you see how absurd it is for us to try to go back. We go back into the past, go back into those things, and we get carried away in something. And you know what we do? We get vainly puffed up by our minds. And you know why we do that? Because we want to be the main player. Come on. We want to be that main player. And if we can shoot old Brother Pike out of the saddle, we'll be the main player. Come on. And if we can prophesy him to death because somebody's got their eyes on him. Come on, Cain. Can't you say amen? I know you're out there. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, what you trying to do? Shoot Brother Branham out of the saddle? Brother Branham's dead, my friend. I reverence and respect him, thought he was one of the greatest men of the earth, but God took him off the scene. He's dead. Nobody can't kill him. He's already dead. You understand what I'm saying? So then stop being like a bunch of children and grow up, folks. Not be blown about by every wind of doctrine. You can't go back there and get a message of yesterday and preach that message yesterday and still be God's leader for today. You can't do that. There is no way. If you could do that, why wasn't the manna that was given them in the wilderness used for the day that God told them not to use it? Come on, folks. Somebody said, well, it was yesterday's manna. Well, they ate the same manna the next day. Same manner according to Moses and according to the definition of what we understand of history. It was a little hoary thing like the hoary frost, a little tiny thing, just like a little bunch of pearls. You know, you dip it up. That was the manna that came down from heaven. Isn't that right? It was the same every day. It looked the same every day. They examined it. It must have been the same every day. You say, now why is that? Because they put some of it over there in the Ark of the Covenant. Come on now. I said yesterday's manna was put in the Ark of the Covenant. It worked all right. Come on. I said it worked all right. You know why it worked all right? Because God's Spirit was in the Ark of the Covenant. That's where it was. God's anointing was on it. And the days you put yesterday's manna in the same are today, God's Spirit will anoint it to be brand new manna every day. But if you don't do it, it'll be old manna. It'll breed worms. And you know what the worms is? Your intellectual reasons, and you thinking you're Brother Branham, and you're thinking you're Brother this and your Brother that, and that old worm gets in it. You won't do like the Word said. Just say, I am what I am by the grace of God, and go and enjoy it. Come on, folks. All right. Seem like we understand each other. So then I'm just saying one thing. It is an abomination in the sight of God for you to listen to tapes when you can listen to a minister. That's right. There's nothing wrong with listening at the tape and the minister. But when you listen at the tapes and leave the minister off, you're wrong. Now you can listen at the minister and leave the tape off, you can make it in. But you can't listen at the tape and leave the minister off and make it in. That's right. So I said, what do you mean? The Bible doesn't say that God set in the ministry or in the body a fivefold taping for the perfecting of the saints or a fivefold printing press, did he? Said a fivefold minister that could work through the taping and through the printing press. Is that right? That's what Brother Branham did. Is that right? Somebody said, well, that's exactly what he did. I know he did. And he did it up until 10 years ago. But the printing press stopped. Come on. Now, they might still be printing Brother Branham's tapes. They might still be printing Brother Branham's books. But Brother Branham, God speaking through Brother Branham, stopped 10 years ago. Somebody said, well, I think we could just take it and go right on. Well, if that's true, why not just back up and forget about Brother Branham and go over and get Brother Luther? How do you believe Brother Luther was a man of God? Brother Branham said he was a man of God. Why not just back up and take what Luther said about it and just go on? His printing press stopped way back yonder, but why not just take it on anyway? You know why? Because it'll be like the printing press of Moody. We sent a little ark over to have it published with Moody, and the man said, we don't believe in speaking in tongues. I'll tell you one thing. When he got the letter, I wrote him after that. He might not have believed in speaking in tongues, but there's one thing that he believed in. He believed that there was a witness in the land for Christ. I'll guarantee you that, because I wrote him a letter the way God gave it to me. See, his press stopped back there. He was good in his day. That was fine. But now we're going on to the perfecting of the saints, folks. Somebody said, well, I think it was all over. I don't see where there's anything else to be done. Some of the Brother Branham followers, and yet they wasn't true Brother Branham followers. Some of the parasites had latched on to it. No true God follower don't do wrong. But some of them tried to say when Brother Branham come, that was the end of the fivefold ministry. Come on. They said, that's the end of the fivefold ministry. But consequently, God turned it around. It was the end of the Brother Branham. And the fivefold ministry is still going on. You understand what I'm saying? You can't change God's plan by your little feeble mind. The fivefold ministry is still going on. Is that right? So then, the fivefold ministry of today is still here. Is that right? Somebody said, well, it ended with Brother Branham. That was the end of it. Isn't that what they say? Come on now, stay with me. Is that what they say, that that was the end of it? Then why don't they close down the church up there where Brother Henry Green's preaching, where Brother Albert's preaching, where Brother Woodruff's preaching, where Brother Green's preaching out yonder in Tucson, Arizona? Why don't they close it up where Brother Jack Palmer's preaching and all of the rest of them? If it's the end of the ministry, why don't we all shut up? I made this statement a number of times. What are you going around telling anybody anything for? Why don't you shut up? What are you spending so much time listening to tapes for and listening to books for? Somebody said, because I want to go to heaven. Then why don't you shut up and leave everybody else alone? They're going to hell anyway. And the ones that's going to make it is on their way anyway. Why don't you quit bothering them and leave them alone? It's because you don't believe what you're saying, but a bunch of parasites wants to kill the kingdom of God and kill the things of God by saying, I was is all there is. But I'm glad I found that I am. They can put it all in the past or all in the future. They can kill today's ministry. The devil's always tried to do that, but I'm here to tell you that there's something today. Right now today. Right now today. Somebody said, you just wait till tomorrow. God's going to raise up Brother so-and-so. But I'm talking about today. God's got some so-and-sos today. So then I say this, and I'm going to close in just a minute now. Just a minute or two. Now listen. The fivefold ministry was put there for the perfecting of the saints. Folks, if the saints is already perfected, they don't need any more perfecting, then all of us needs to shut up and let that be it. We need to keep our mouths closed. Is that right? Because anything that we could say would hinder them. If they're already perfect, anything we would say would not be God, because God is not going to go beyond perfection. Is that right? So if you're running your mouth about anything, you need to shut it up. Minister, laity, whatever, if that's your conviction, you need to shut it up. It's like a man said the other day, you know, they finally proved that there's life beyond the grave. But this scientist says there's definitely no life beyond the grave. Now I made the statement, he must be a miserable man. That's all I got to say about him. Anybody don't believe there's nothing any better in this world, he must be a miserable man. He'd be better off just take a gun, blow his brains out, and get through with it. That's right. So then there's a fivefold ministry today because the saints need perfecting, folks. That's why it was put there, and the saints need perfecting. Is that right? And when them people out yonder that can't hear the gospel anymore, when God cuts them off, the saints of God still will have need for the ministry. How many of you know that? Sure they will. All right. Now I appreciate you. I love you. But I want you to understand, and you, that Paul said some rising up from among you would try to pervert you and try to convince you of something that's gone to yesterday. And that's why I preach this morning. God wanted me to do that. There's some that's done got in among you out and caught their spirit, and they are fixing to chop you up like cordwood and divide you up and try to kill your interest in me and in the ministry here and convince you that Brother Branham back there, that was right. Come on. I said, they're going to try to convince you that Brother Branham's message was right. Everybody that has to be convinced that Brother Branham's message was right, raise your hand. You must believe it's all right. Is that right? How do you believe it was right? Raise your hand. All right, we don't need any talebearers around to convince us then, do we? Is that right? So then they're straining a net, swallowing a camel. Hallelujah. Don't nobody believe it any more than we do. We don't need anybody to tell us. But we also believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we're living in today. Is that right? So he's the same today as he was in Brother Branham's yesterday. Is that right? And he'll be the same forever. Is that right? All right, if we got the same God today, then why not listen at him today? Is that right? How do you believe that God has said at least one tiny little bitty thing that's new since Brother Branham died? I got some believers. Everybody, now a lot of folks like to be in between, you know. They're that lukewarm generation. They ain't going one way or another. That way you can't put your finger on them. That's the way Satan does. He's slimy, subtle. He won't number himself with nothing, you know. That way you can't ever put your finger on him. But I like to do it this way. Everybody that believes that there's been nothing new since Brother Branham's death, raise your hand. Uh-huh. That put the cap on the bottle, so you might as well keep your mouth shut. Ain't nobody gonna listen to you. All right, God's good, ain't he? Hallelujah. Somebody said silence is golden, but how do you know that when you don't say nothing, that means that you're with what has been said? That's the way it's ruled. Somebody said, well, I don't believe it like that. But that's the way they rule it anyway. So I'm glad you're with us. All right, let's stand together. Brother Pike's not mocking you. I'm just trying to shake you up a little bit and wake you from the deep sleep and slumber. I love Brother Branham. I love Paul. I love all those people. They're great. They're my fathers in the gospel. They're pillars. They're landmarks that cannot be moved. They're great and mighty. But folks, don't you ever try to convince Brother Pike that God ain't doing nothing new. Don't you ever tell me that God's dead because Paul died and because Brother Branham died. Don't try to tell me that the kingdom of God doesn't have God saying anything else to it since a man's dead. If for 10 long years the kingdom of God's been here and God ain't said nothing to it, but out of the books and out of the tapes, as part of the kingdom of God's in bad shape, because some of the kingdom of God that I've seen ain't even got no tapes, ain't even got no books, and ain't got nobody to even tell them about Brother Branham. So I'll tell you what, that would be a one-sided kingdom, I'll tell you that. You love the Lord? Now, the thing for you to do is to do something for God. I come back to Mike a lot of times, but when we was in Palestine in Europe, Brother Mike passed out so many tracts, so many books, so many different things over there to those people of trying to reach him with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, somebody said, there you go, back to tracts and books. Ain't that strange how we got back to that? Isn't that strange? Here we are right back to it. Now, somebody said, yeah, that proves something to you. Well, it does to me too. See, it proves that you're wrong when you think that I don't believe in books and tracts. Let's look at it that way. See, it won't be warped up like the way you're looking at it through your windows. Yeah. So then, he really gave out some books and some tracts. And it really thrilled my heart. It thrills my heart, Brother George Smith. We sent him a few $100 offering not too long ago. It thrilled my heart because he's publishing Brother Branham's books in Spanish down in Old Mexico, doing a great work. And as far as I know, I guess Betty sent Brother Borders an offering just a few days back, or she was supposed to. But the thing is, folks, I believe in the old and the new. The Bible said that the good man brings out of his treasure both old and new. Is that right? Now, I'm not talking about some of you folks, because some of you folks ain't got no new. Isn't that right? You declare there is nothing new, so you need to look to bring nothing out, because there ain't nothing new to you. But I'm talking about the man that believes in something new. How many believe in something new? Said he brings something old and new out of it. Is that right? Well, I feel I'm talking about something old and new. You fellas that got something old and new. But you fellas that just got the old, I'm not talking to you, because you can't bring nothing new out. So then a good man brings out both the old and new. I believe in the old and the new. I thank God for all the old. I thank God for the new. But it's my job to preach to you that you are to be founded in what is called new. Come on. Somebody said, well, where do you get that? Paul said it's a good thing to be established in the old truth of yesterday. No, it wasn't what he said, was it? It's a good thing that the heart be established in the present truth. Is that right? How do you believe it's a present truth? It's a good thing that it be established in the present truth. So then there is something that God is telling the hearts today, and I'm listening to it, and I tell you what, I'm really enjoying it. Let's sing a little chorus together, and I'll let you go. I appreciate your patience. Sorry for your disappointment, because I know that some of you was expecting me to teach some this morning in Revelation, and it really disappointed you. Some of you was glad I didn't get into it, and some of you could care less, as the world says, if I'd never even come up here. Because you didn't come here for that purpose anyway. You just come here to be coming. Because you ain't got nowhere else to go right now. Just as quick as you get a good thought to go somewhere, you'll be on your horse and be gone. You're just waiting. Like a brother come to me the other day, and he said, Brother Pike, do you feel that I ought to go such and such and such? I said, well, how do you feel about it? I want to know how you feel. That's why I tell you how I feel. I said, I feel like you ought to do whatever you feel. So he knew that I wasn't giving him the right answer according to what he wanted, so he went off and he stayed off a few days and he come back. I do that just to fill a person out, you know. Sometimes a spirit can be troubling a man, you can shake it off of him. But in a few days he was back. A few days he was back. And finally you just say, go on, Balaam. That's what you say, go on. So go on. I finally just told him, I said, just go on. I know that Satan was driving him, just driving him and driving him. I said, go on. Already he's in a mess. I just got the report this morning or yesterday. He wouldn't listen. Satan was driving him. He wouldn't listen. I told him over and over and over. And that's the way some of you are. You're never going to listen. So I don't never bother with you. When you take a notion to go somewhere and you come to me, I say, sure. If that's what you want to do, you do it, because that's your life. But once in a while, I'll have a person come to me that's really sincere with God. And they'll say, Brother Pike, do you actually see anything in my life for God? I really have. A person that's sincere with God, you see things. God gives you things, a shepherd especially for his sheep. But it don't matter what I tell you for God. You got your own thing. You're going to do your own thing. You're going to go your own way and say whatever you want to, and ain't nothing I can do about it. You got your own plan, and I don't see why you even bother to ask me. I really don't. I wouldn't bother to ask a man. I wouldn't bother to take up my time to ask a man unless I really meant to believe what he said or had some confidence in what I thought he was going to say. I wouldn't. I wouldn't have went to Brother Branham and asked Brother Branham something if I hadn't have believed in what the man said or had some plans of trying to do it. That's foolish. You're better off if you don't know the will of God if you're going to do your way anyway, because it'll just bring the judgments of the Lord on you. So it's better that you don't ask a man of God. I remind you again, it's like the fellow that come to me just a couple of days ago. And he said, Brother Pike, do you see anything for me? And I said, yes. He didn't think I really did. He didn't think I really knowed. And in his jubilant like air, so sure that I didn't see and understand, he said, I believe you do see. You know, they left a probe at you. Come on, Brother Branham, tell. Prophesy to me, they said to Jesus. Come on, prophesy to me. But when he opened his mouth, they shut theirs. And he said, come on. Tell me. I said, all right, I'll tell you. I said, you're just as cunning as you can be. Oh, he didn't expect that. I said, you're so cunning that you'd get what you want and get a ministry. It wouldn't make no difference how you got it or get people to stand behind it. Brother, you can believe he wasn't expecting me to say that. And it tore him up so much until he looked at me and he said, it's the truth, Brother Pike. Said, it's the truth. But then he simmered down and he got honest and he got sincere. And I really believe that the man lived sincere when he realized that God really did know his heart. And that's the way some of you are. You really think that you got Brother Pike fooled. You really believe you have. You think you got me just exactly where you want me in your mind. But you haven't moved me one bit. I know just exactly the street you live on. It's called Crooked Avenue. I know exactly what your plans are and what your motives are. You don't have God's people at heart. You're not interested in God's people. You're not interested in God's people, nor their welfare, nor anything that pertains to God's people. You're interested in highlighting yourself and lifting yourself up, putting yourself up in a place of money and prestige and admiration, and having the people follow you like a little bunch of dogs. But I'm glad some folks have got enough God sense that they won't do that. Amen. They hear the voice of the good shepherd, and wherever he leads them, they follow him. And he careth for the sheep, and he giveth his life for the sheep. All that ever come before him, the Bible said, are robbers and thieves and hirelings. They flee when they see the wolf coming. But you take a good shepherd, he'll give his life for the sheep. How do you know that? How do you know Paul was a good shepherd? He gave his life for the sheep. Peter did too. A number of them were good shepherds. You know why? Because they were the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's the only good shepherd there is. He's the good shepherd. You can tell him when you meet him, can't you? How you can tell the good shepherd when you meet him? Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. All right, let's sing this little chorus together. I love him because he is mine. Let me say this to you just before I sing. Folks, get on one side of the fence or another and quit riding the rail. Sometimes you're going to fall off and you're going to hurt yourself. Get on one side or another. I know this before I say that. I realize this. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, I want to, but what if this is wrong? Then what am I going to do? Be a real man and swallow down and say, well, praise God, I was honest. I put my all in it, and the thing was just wrong, and now I'm going to get straightened out. Come on. Somebody said, but I just can't stand it. What if it is wrong? And then my old friends find out that I have been wrong. They won't think I'm such a great fella. They don't think you're a great fella anyway when you come down here, so you don't have to worry about that. You lost your greatness a long time ago, folks. When you joined up with Jesus, you lost all the greatness you ever had to the world. So you don't have to worry about that. Amen. You just cast your lot with this and be a good captain. A good captain will go down with the ship. Now, don't look at it on the negative side and say, well, what if? Just look at it and say like this, God, I believe it's right. Then, if it is right, look where you're at and look where they're at. That's the way to look at it. And when you look at it another way, that means that you don't have much confidence in your judgment. Isn't that right? Come on now. I said, if you look at it another way, you don't have very much confidence in your judgment. Isn't that right? So how do you expect me and them to have any confidence in your judgment? If you ain't got no confidence in it for your own self, I sure don't want to abide by it. I've said this a lot of times. If my little boy or girl's dying and you come up and say, Brother Pike, take courage, they're going to live. We're going to believe with you. I'll think a whole lot more of you even if they die. Then if you come around and say, well, I don't know. Looks bad. No, I just don't believe they're going to make it. That's right. At least I want somebody to strengthen my hand and say, come on, let's believe. Let's believe till the last little bit like David did. Fast and pray till the baby's dead. Keep trying, keep trying, keep believing. That's why I believe it. The Hebrew children cast him in the fire furnace. They said, well, if God don't, but we believe he will. Isn't that right? If he don't, but we believe he will. All right, let's sing this little chorus together. I love him because he is mine. I love him because he is mine. I love him because he's divine. I will love him forever, it seems. Oh, he's Jesus the Nazarene. You know, a lot of people are afraid that if they take one side of the road, that down the trail they're going to meet Brother Branham or Luther or somebody that's going to say, yep, you're wrong. But folks, you can be sure that you ain't going to meet them. They ain't going to be resurrected till that day. And in that day, Brother Branham and Brother Luther and all the rest will be so concerned about their welfare and the mistakes that they made till they won't be looking for none of yours. You can be sure when we stand there, they won't be trying to find your mistakes. They'll all be looking at the great judge and be concerned about their mistakes. Hallelujah. And he alone in that day shall be exalted. So you don't have to worry about that. And if you're worried about some of the followers of different things that you've been affiliated with, if you've stayed with them that long, you ought to know what they can put against you by now and know where it's right or wrong. If you ain't learned that much about it, you're leaving too early. You should have stayed with them until you knowed more about it. The Bible said, prove all things. You should have proved whether or not they were right or whether they were wrong before you ever left them. To leave them without proving that they're wrong or that there's something greater, that's foolishness. But if you found something greater and you proved it to be greater and you proved that that's not what you want back there, that you're thankful for all that you got out of it, but there's something else, then have confidence in God and in yourself in Christ. The other people have confidence in you and you can be a leader. Don't be wishy-washy like this. And one day they thank you over here and one day they thank you over yonder. You're better to be numbered with the old, folks. You better be numbered with the old. At least they'll have confidence in you. If you're with the new, be with the new. If you're with the old, be with the old. But don't get in between, because if you get in between, nobody won't have any confidence in you. Isn't that right? I'd rather be a Trinity than be a Jesus name if I'm just going to be in between, because I ain't going nowhere anyway. Isn't that right? At least if I'm out there in the Trinity world, when I was back out there in the Trinity, I knew I had the Holy Ghost. Nobody couldn't tell me I didn't have the Holy Ghost. Now, I hadn't been baptized in Jesus' name, but I knew that I had the Holy Ghost. And then when I found out something else, I come on over to it. I got ridiculed. They really ridiculed me. But I came on over and I took a stand for it. Some of them that came over with me got this way and they said, well, I think I'll go back, Brother Pike. I said, you can go back. But it's live, die, sink, or swim. This is what he showed me. If this isn't right, then the other isn't right, because I heard that from the same place I heard this. I'm going this way. I'm still going today. I'm still going today. If the voice is telling me this isn't right, Brother James, and that I had back there wasn't right either, so there's no need for me to worry about it. Is that right, Brother Arthur? Same spirit that told you that was right back there told you this was right. Isn't that right? That's what Brother Arthur told me last night. If he can't believe the spirit that told him this, he can't believe it that told him that. Is that right? Is that the way it is with you, Brother Mike? That's the way it is with me. See, in other words, if that was right, then this is right. So let's keep on keeping on for Jesus. Hallelujah. I believe it. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? Amen. I don't want to get confused. I know confusion's of the devil, that's for sure. If I get in that kind of condition, I know that ain't right. Nobody don't have to tell me that. Hallelujah. So let's just keep on going on. I'll tell you what we'll do, folks. Some of them that's back there in the old, we'll pull them on up here. And they'll join arms with us. Isn't it right? Every new thing that comes out, you know, you get a new invention and somebody will criticize and they'll say, that ain't no good. But after a while, when that thing gets to working right, they'll say, you know, that old fellow there, he wasn't off his rockers after all. There's something to that. That's a whole lot easier than what we're doing. Let's try it. You love the Lord? All right, let's sing it again now. I love Him. Don't forget the service tonight. Don't be disappointed. God gives us what He feels like we need. Sing it with me. I will love Him forever, it seems. Oh, He's Jesus the Nazarene. Can I say this before I close? You know, this ship is like Ironside, isn't it? Like old Ironside. It's been shot at a lot of times. It's still afloat. That's right. History said when they shot at her and shot at her, when they thought they was ready to take over, the old captain shouted out and said, "We just begin to fight." That's right. Old brother John Knox said to Bloody Mary and the others, back there in that day, started a hammering on him. He said, "Be it known unto the king and the queen and all of those that are like them, that this great anvil has worn out many a hammer. Many a hammer. You can keep pecking on it." Old Bloody Mary finally made that statement. She said, "I fear the prayers of John Knox more than I do the armies of the alien powers." Said, "Just let them come and fight me, but don't let that man pray. Just don't let that man pray." How would you like to have a reputation like that? You can do it. You can do it. Hallelujah. One more time and I'll let you go. Come in. I love Him because He is mine.